The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The relationship of a shepherd and the sheep is a very intimate one. This is an image, a poem, a song that has echoed throughout time. But in the 21st century, has it lost its power? Can this image still speak into our darkness and give us hope in the valley? When I was serving in Kansas, one of the couples in my congregation maintained their family farm, and they had donkeys and chickens and wheat fields and, among other things, sheep. One day I asked if I could come by and ask some of my silly city girl questions and specifically visit the sheepfold, and they said, okay. And the father of the family is the one who cared for the sheep, and I'm not really sure whether he would call himself a shepherd, but I asked him, I said, you know, Jesus talks about how his sheep will hear his voice and he will call them by name. Is that really true? Do they know your voice? And he just laughed, and he said, oh yeah. And then I saw what happens when he gets close to the pen. The little ones, those little lambs, all push and shove, and they call out. It's so loud. And they just want to get near him immediately as soon as they hear his voice. They know him. And they know he takes care of them, helping them with food and shelter, but also bringing them into the world. This city girl has learned from getting to know many ranchers and shepherds that with sheep, with cows, really with many farm animals, their human caretaker watches over the mother and the child in birth and helps along like a midwife or nurse. They know the fragility and miracle of life. And the animals respond to them because they are one of the constants in their lives. When my friend opened the pen to walk in and feed them, the little lambs were all up against his legs. And I couldn't help think but how having a shepherd was a very sensual experience. From their height, these little lambs may not be able to see the shepherd, but they could smell him and hear him, and they wanted to just touch him and rub up against him. And they could anticipate the taste of the food that he was bringing to them. But even once we can understand the life of the shepherd, our passage from John is still quite confusing. Whether in our 21st century context or back in their own context, even the disciples weren't really understanding what Jesus was saying, and he had to make it even more simple. But it was confusing. First, Jesus says he's the gate, and then he says, I am the good shepherd. The speech started with a discussion about only the shepherd goes through the gate. So which is he? The shepherd or the gate? Well, I think the answer is worse than the question. He is all of the above. The gate to the sheepfold, the shepherd of the sheep, and even one of the sheep among them. Perhaps this was the explanation of his divine being, choosing to come and live among us while he was still different in some ways. And through all of these troubling times, he is the one holding us together. Now, the Greek word translated here as gate isn't like a gate as we would imagine. It is more like an archway or a portal or a space between two spaces, or maybe even a gap in the wall just big enough for a sheep, perhaps even an opening made by the shepherd so that the sheep could get to safety. Near the temple in Jerusalem, by some historic medicinal pools, there was even a large archway where they slaughtered the sheep from sheep for sacrifice. They called this archway the Sheep's Gate. And it makes me wonder if these words from Jesus happened exactly after, when the man born blind went to wash in those pools right next to the Sheep Gate. Maybe Jesus was saying that he is the one healing our brokenness, holding us that we might be transported to the safety of God's love and transformed to see the world in a whole new way. Following this image of a space between spaces, some might even call that a threshold. And educators Meyer and Land write about threshold concepts as opportunities for learning and an opportunity for transformation of personal identity, language, and worldview. They build upon the image of doorway or portal between two states of being, and they bring together ethnological studies of what is called liminal space. Now, I recently learned from them that liminal space comes from the Latin word for doorway. Limen, and this term also describes the stone at the base of a doorframe, literally the space between two spaces. They say to us, the metaphor of the threshold conjures the architectural space of the doorway, a transitional point or intersection rather than a space. Thresholds may be seen in this way as leading the learner on through a transformational landscape in a kind of epistemological steeplechase towards a preordained end. Liminality, on the other hand, they say, offers less predictability and appears to be a more liquid space, perhaps like a river, simultaneously transforming and being transformed by the learner as he or she moves through it. Christ himself is the liminal space, holding us in the liminal space, walking with us through that space. And they say that the time when learning happens, transformation happens, is those moments when we're stuck in that space in between, struggling, not quite making it through that gateway, wondering what comes next. And my fellow Enneagram 4, KJ Ramsey, just came out with a new book called The Book of Common Courage. And she writes about Psalm 23 and this image of the shepherd as well. And she says this about that stuck space, that liminal space where we don't know how to move to the other side. She says, when life makes us feel stuck, scared, or small, the storms of stress separate our minds from our bodies and hearts, and ourselves from one another. Fear can turn our hands to fists and our feet to flight. We sink into overwhelm and shut down in storms of stress in an effort to survive. By rushing and retreating, we aren't exactly on the path to strength and joy. She admits it's hard to pray when we feel powerless because our bodies need the presence of someone else to soothe us and speak us back into safety. Fear and stress temporarily disconnect us from the language centers of the brain and the calming, regulating power of the prefrontal cortex. But the presence of another safe, empathetic person can bring our minds, bodies, and hearts back together. The shepherd of our souls literally gathers us up, heart, mind, and body, reconnecting what has been disconnected. The image of the shepherd isn't just a metaphor. It is a witness of how Christ acts in our lives. It is a truth to remind us that Christ has always been there. Christ is our constant, and Christ will lead us home. Let us pray. Good, loyal, faithful shepherd. Like those little lambs, we can't always see you in the darkness of our valleys. And sometimes the voices of others are so loud, it's hard to hear you as well. But in those times when we feel so disconnected and we can't see our way through, Lord, we pray that you would come and be the gate in our lives, that threshold which holds us and guides us to you, guides us to freedom, guides us to joy. Good and loyal shepherd, call us to you today. Amen.